Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Going pretty good. Yeah, feel like made some really good traction recently, and it's starting to show. And I mean, yeah, we're recording this near the end of September, so we've had a couple weeks of football. So 1 week of trials converting and getting some serious growth that we're excited about. But almost like more than that is been, I think, just a lot more clarity around things. And we just shipped a really big update, and the reaction's been awesome. Like the YouTube video we put out about it has gotten 1,500 views already, and we put that video out like a couple days ago. And the comments on YouTube have been incredible. And like in all the Discords that our partners run and everything else, when we posted about this, like everyone loves it. And it came together much faster than it has in the past. I went way, way, way overboard on the planning up front. And I don't think it was efficient.
Oh, like the product or like marketing?
Yeah, like mock-ups. Marketing was almost non-existent. Okay. But like the planning, the mock-ups, like how it's going to work. Matt and I got really detailed with that, because I think that's where the devs get caught up a lot. It's just details we overlooked. But yeah, so we got it out in about a month. And it's very rough around the edges, which I'm also proud of, because I hate things like that. If I just know, like, let's see what confuses people, what doesn't, before cleaning it up. So yeah, that went out earlier this week, feeling really good, still kind of riding that high. But yeah, how are things over on your end?
Things are good. We similarly, I guess, like, it's funny, I don't think about these things until we hit record. We launched a set of tools, of like free podcasting tools, a couple of weeks ago, and it's cool. They're starting to get some traction. So if folks are interested, go to castos.com/tools. And we have like three right now. One is like a podcast name generator. So you type in like startups, right? And it generates a bunch of names and checks them for available domains on Namecheap. So that's cool. We did like a RSS feed lookup, which is cool because we're going to use that in the application. So like talking about what we talked about last week, like our most high value customers of like new trial starts are people that are importing their podcast or migrating from another place. And so right now we make them enter their RSS feed. And so we're saying like one step better, why can't you just go and type in Seeking Scale and it will just import your podcast. So we're doing that, but like offering as an external tool as well. And then Francois, our like designer and head of product, built like a little mini Canva to let folks design cover art. Really easy, because it's the biggest sticking point when people want to start a podcast. It's like, pick the name and come up with a cover image. And so it has like different backgrounds and gradients. You can put in like move text and stuff, and it's always the right size, which is another like massive sticking point. So it's cool. Like the cool thing is all that stuff took a month, like all the landing pages and all the tools themselves and all that kind of stuff. So that was pretty quick, like to get all three of those done in that amount of time. So that was cool. And then we have some other unconventional content marketing that we're doing, which is cool. So like the blog is still there and we're ramping up like the cadence there, but we're also doing some non-blog content.
Can you talk about
non-blog kind of campaigns? I can't, because it's super secret.
Okay, so nothing's like published yet.
I definitely will, like want like the tools, like once they're out and we have some data.
Okay, cool. Nice. How do you navigate overcoming like top of funnel challenges for the people without a podcast versus people who already have the podcast? Because I think it's probably not every business, but most businesses have that split of the aspirational prospect versus the person who's already doing it and succeeding with it to some level somewhere else, and they're looking for something better. So I'm just wondering how you think about that.
I'm wondering if this is a very nice way of you saying, Craig, why are you focusing on the people that you said are the opposite of who you say your most like high value customers are?
No, I think like I'm trying to be less quick to jump to a conclusion. And so I'm saying like that's where my head's going. But I do like think it's very possible like there's strategic reasons outside of it, because I don't think it's a binary choice of one or the other.
You are correct. And what we have, well, what I justify to myself, at least, I don't know if it's right, is that like we have filled the bottom of the funnel, you know, like we have written about all the stuff that like someone who's already a podcaster and like might want to come to us. Like we've covered all those bases, whether it's 100% or just 80%, I don't know. But like, I feel like we did what we need to do from like a traffic and SEO perspective. The tools are as much about offering value as they are about like link building and domain reputation so that all of our stuff can rank better. So it's super cool. They're super helpful. I actually used each of them this week for my own stuff. But like the goal definitely with the free tools is links from like a growth perspective. But also like we'll put in the RSS feed lookup and we'll put in, we call it Dynamo, the image generator into the application. And so the goal with all of these is they can be things that just stand alone and they also can be things that our customers use. And that's kind of the filter that we have to put on all of them. It's like, we're not going to build a thing like you're getting at that people will use and never pay for and never become potential leads or customers or anything like that. Like we probably won't do that. There is an aspect to it that is just an SEO play.
No, I think like that makes sense. And for us, what we've been trying to get, what I've been trying to get clear on is just who is that ideal customer? Like who are we really going for? And it's been tough to follow through with where it's like, I think we have a pretty good idea of who that customer is. But then it's like, whenever I get into the weeds on content or whatever else, or like even playing, like prioritizing features, it's easy to lose sight of that. And then it's one of those things where like on support and on everything else that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And it's almost always the people doing the squeaking you shouldn't listen to. But it's hard to actually follow through with that. And I've just had to really just be as deliberate as I can about it. And it's taking me a ton of time. But like when I'm writing out some of the new videos, the stuff that I've worked on, it's just like, okay, like I'm just going to assume X, Y, and Z about the viewer. If that's not you, like, sorry, this video isn't for you. And someday we'll create more. Like a lot of our content was too beginner oriented, and we can point to video from last year and like, yeah, it's a little bit out of date, but like that's enough to get you started. I'm really focused on the people who've been around for a little bit, and it's been good, but just like very hard to stick with that. Because like in the back of my head, I was like, but like there's questions I know are out there that I'm just not answering.
Yeah. I was talking to a founder of like a $5 million ARR a year, $5 million ARR SaaS company yesterday about this exact thing. And it's amazing that like they still struggle with it a lot. And they were telling me, we know that like this is our customer and this is how we got here, but we get distracted by this thing over here. And we think about what about like going up market, or we think about going to the enterprise or serving this other horizontal kind of niche or something like that. So I think it's just like, it's always there, right? It's like, you know, in your sane moments, exactly what to do. But then if you're not disciplined, like everything else about the market pulls you in all these different directions. I think it's just like, I mean, like you're talking about, yeah, when you have those moments, it's easy to be disciplined and clear about it. But I think a lot of people struggle with sticking with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because ultimately, I feel like the Russell Brunson crowd, the info marketer crowd, all of that crowd gets this just almost objectively horribly wrong in the sense of, yeah, like it's just like any of the info products out there, any of the content out there, the review sites, literally like any of that markety stuff, you get huge numbers from people looking like how to make money online. Then you can niche down like here's one way of doing it. But it's just like, I think that's going to be the group that needs the most handholding. That's, and like so few of them are going to succeed. And you're just doing so much education, like the challenge funnel stuff. I don't know. It's like, I really obviously, I think Russell Brunson is probably one of the most talented marketers in the world. I just think it's been directed in a way that misses the point, because the amount of energy it takes to serve that wide of an audience and create all these different products for them is insane compared to just like, well, okay, like what if I just focus on the higher end? And I'm not saying everyone needs to be like an enterprise company. And if you really do love helping the beginners, that's awesome. But I think it's just easy to shift in that one. Like, well, like this is where like, this is a bigger pond over here, but maybe the fish all taste bad and you don't want to catch those ones.
Yeah.
And it's like we're going to be releasing before basketball starts up, so like in a month, a higher tier plan for the product. And with that,
What are you guys at right now?
$49.99 and $89.99 a month.
Okay.
This new one will be $199.99 a month. And we're going to be lower. We're going to be raising the lower tier to $59.99. And people that are existing customers are going to get grandfathered. We've always taken that approach, even if it's not the like mathematically like optimal. That's just what we want to do culturally.
Forever or forever. Like a period of time?
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, partially there is also...
I disagree with that, but that's
also
okay.
The one, I think community is a huge part of what we do, and not grandfathering, I think, might immediately in the short term have pay dividends, but I do not think it fosters the kind of community growth and the sharing that like has been our biggest factor of growth to this point. And then the second part is just more practically speaking, in a high churn, this is where I think the B2B SaaS, I could just go off on all the things I disagree with, but I feel like that's been the theme for a while. But like, I think it's where B2B SaaS education strategy, everything else, people lose the inputs that cause that to be the right advice. And it's like, yes, in a very low churn business, don't grandfather, like they're not going to leave anyways. In a high churn business, if doing like the right thing can get them to stick around another month or two, because they know if they come back next time, they're going to have to pay more. Like that is where like I'm very confident it's more profitable for our business with our churn this way. But additionally, I think it just as a company, it feels good. And so I think it's like I can justify it from both sides. But I know it's because like our business, our numbers do not look like a traditional SaaS company as far as churn goes. And so that's where I think the fundamental, like that's why I disagree with like the canon on that. But yeah.
No, that's reasonable. I mean, I think the two that you pointed out, like that make it maybe an exception are like community, right? And like goodwill and how much that contributes to your growth, right? That in that respect, you're saying someone paying less is actually worth more to us because they're going to promote us to their friends. I think that makes sense. And like, yeah, you are in a high, I can imagine like a high churn kind of business where people can maybe go somewhere else or just not do it anymore if you raise money. And they're probably pretty price sensitive, like your average customer, like you're really good players probably are not at all.
Right. And we haven't done a good job of optimizing for that willingness to pay by finding the right things to build to provide enough value for people to pay more for it, but also on just being clear about who's not the right fit. And I think increasing the price of our basic plan and making it like very close to the advanced plan, like the middle tier, there is a subset of people who I think could be good customers that will choose that cheaper plan, but it's going to be a very small amount. I could also see us getting rid of that or not accepting new customers on that plan in the future. But it's like, that's where all the headaches come from. And it's also like where we can't profitably serve those customers in the way that they need. They need more handholding and we can't give it to them. And so it distracts our team from the people who don't need as much help, but when they do it, they appreciate it and they're going to stick around for longer. It distracts our team from them and we just still can never give them enough and they're going to leave anyways. So if we can add another filter to prevent a few of the tire kickers from getting in there, awesome. And yeah, like I'm saying, like I'm not ready to at all to jump to that. And we might never get rid of that plan. But when I talk about like the focusing on the best customers, it's not the people who are going to pay us the most money. Then we would be a consultancy for the top three players in the world. And that's just not what gets us excited. So it's like figure out who are the best customers for us. And it's pretty clear who's not. And so just finding that right balance there.
Yeah. You know, like as we're talking, one thing that like I have realized over the past couple of months or so is like for a long time, we've been trying to move the needle with like ARPU, right? ARPA, whatever, average revenue per account, as like the measure of how much value we give to our customers, right? Because like in my mind, my self-limiting belief is that we can't make a, you know, $5 million a year business charging $19 a month. And that is wrong. You know, it's just wrong. Like it's a really, different way to run a business to get it that big. And you just need a big old top of the funnel and like a bunch of volume and stuff. And you can charge $19 a month and make $5 million. And I think that most businesses are just whatever they are. You know, like we are never going to have a $50 ARPU. Never. You know, there is almost nothing we can do to our existing business. We could become a totally different business, which, you know, we kind of flirted with, but very much decided against. But like as a podcast hosting company, we will never have a $50 ARPU. You will never have 2% churn probably, you know? And I think that like there are these just like almost absolutes about like you pick the good and or you have the good and the bad with your business model and like the industry you're in. And I think that like fighting against those too much is just really frustrating. And that's like that's like me saying like the shit that I have tried to do to get past this, as opposed to like accepting it and like leaning into it.
Before we hit record, like we went deep on some of the like theory around all this stuff and just like how do you prioritize around goals and what are the goals, everything else. And like I think where frustration can come is when you are trying to change I don't know a good way of phrasing this, but it's like you're trying to change something fundamental that like within the rules you've set up cannot be changed. But that's not to say you couldn't play by a different set of rules. So like I think a lot of it is for the vast majority of companies is going to be self-fulfilling. It's like, yeah, if you keep investing in the channels that got you the lower revenue customers, you're right. Like you're not going to be able to magically turn them into higher revenue customers. There are ways you could potentially get the higher value ones that come through to pay more. But like it's trying to optimize out of a local maximum when it's like, no, you can't break out of that box just by like making small tweaks. And so that's where I think the frustration comes is when you do all this energy, but you're still stuck. And it's like, but you don't realize you're in the box. And I think like that's where the challenges can and the frustrations especially come. And so we operating the way we do now will be high churn. I think if we literally just cut out the starter plan, we would be lower churn. But I also I think people often will obsess over churn without thinking about profitability or their goals or whatever else. And I don't know that we are trying to optimize. Well, I do know we're not trying to optimize for churn exclusively, but it's more like around the headaches and everything else that comes with those kind of customers. And is it worth it at a certain point? Maybe. And that's what we're trying to figure out. But yeah, it's like you have to, if you feel like you're stuck in these cycles, it's because you're not making fundamental enough of a change. Because with all those inputs the way they are, you're right. Like, yeah, you're not going to get a different end result. It needs to be more of like a different equation.
Yeah, you have two options. One, like a radical change in the type of business, right? To be able to get out of that box or not and accept it and just roll with it.
But it's like, don't keep flailing around in the box.
Right. Just build a little nest.
Yeah, and like when I talked about like Russell Brunson, the infomarketer, is just picking like the worst segment. It's the worst for me. And I've also realized this, like there is the appeal of a McDonald's business. There are the mass market, all that, but like those can be big businesses. They can be good businesses. I don't want the challenges of managing the typical lowly paid employee. I don't want to have razor thin margins. I don't want those problems. Some people thrive on them and that's awesome. And so like and on the info marketing side, it's like, I think many people in that world genuinely like taking someone who's a beginner in getting them to their first success. I think a lot of other ones just see easy money because that's where the traffic is and go there regardless. But I don't think it has to be wrong for everyone. But I think it's more trying to get an outcome different than like the equation you set up is going to get you. It's like, that's where the problem comes from.
Yep, totally. I have one other thing I want to talk about. I joined like the first paid community I've ever joined. Not true. So I joined the Dynamite Circle a long time ago and I'm still active there and just never log in. They get my $100 a quarter and I just never log in. It's a really cool community. It's just not kind of me right now. But I joined like a marketing focused community And it's fantastic. I really like it. I'm not going to say what it is.
Why even mention it? Are you just bragging?
Well, because it's more of a question. Okay. Well, it's a statement. One, like, I think it's an interesting opportunity, like in the space, right? There are people like you and me who have a little bit of money and will pay a little bit of money to join a really well curated is not the right word, but it's not just like indie hackers, right? Anyone can go to indie hackers and you don't know what you're going to get. If you are in a community that's $100 or $200 a month, like chances are you have pretty legit people. And so like I did this for this marketing thing and now I want to find it for like SaaS, you know, and it doesn't exist that I know of. Like a SaaS, call it a mastermind, right? Or a community or whatever that's like $100 or $200 or $500 a month. Like Dan Martell, I know, is one of them. And that's not like what I'm looking for. But like, yeah, if such a thing existed, I would join it, assuming that it was cool and everything. But like this one that I'm in is by like three people that everyone knows in marketing. And it's awesome. It's a really cool place to hang out. So
there are like, I can't even think of, I'm blanking on the names, but there's like different executive groups that meet locally that usually like 20-ish thousand a year. And it's like a small, I'm blanking on all of the, there's like two or three like very big ones that they've been around forever.
Yeah.
And they usually do it like somewhat cohort based where it's like, you're going to have a
entrepreneurs group. Organization is like the big
that's one. That's one of them. And then, but there's more like older school ones. It is led by Proctor and like you get together once a month or whatever it is. I've been interested. And not one of my friends joined one, and it's definitely like leans towards an older crowd. I think EO might be younger, but there's not one. Like, there's one in Boston, which might not be too bad for you. But yeah, no, I think there's value there. I am at a spot where I don't like the deluge of a lot of opinions, a lot of noise. It's just, to me, it's distracting and I don't focus well. And so it's just like having that many things going on is just not what I need. But I think it's the smaller, more focused groups or even discussion, like one-on-one discussions is more my speed. And like even on Twitter, it's like, I don't really tweet much myself, but I don't follow a ton of people. I pare it down pretty regularly. It's just like, oh, like every time this posts, like it just annoys me. So I'm just going to unfollow them. Or like, it's like bad news or it's just like whatever else it may be. So I try to like winnow it down to fewer opinions, but I think there's some balance of that community versus mastermind. What is the right one? So if you get any leads on one, let me know and let the listeners know too.
Maybe without for one, sure, we'll for sure. I mean, the nice, I totally agree about the distractions, and I 100% have been like down the rabbit hole with like fucking buying expired domains and resurrecting them and also like, this is just not like, this is not for me. But the nice thing about it is, as opposed to Twitter, for me, it is like more of a safe, trusted place where I can go and ask a question and be like vulnerable and say like, I don't know, but like, this is what I'm thinking. What do y'all think? Like the Tiny Seed Slack is like that as well, but just a little different. And yeah. So anyways, it's been cool. And I don't want a lot of information all the time, but when I want it, I want to be able to go to a place to get really good insights.
Whatever happened with
the business coach? And I've been looking for like a coach or a mentor or whatever for a while. And like, that just hasn't worked out. And so this is kind of filling part of that gap.
Yeah. Cause I almost feel like it's finding a trusted advisor who it's like when they, like you can go to them with specific questions and they'll have practical solutions and they'll know the questions to ask. They understand your situation and can not even just point you in the right direction, but like bring you pretty close to where you need to go. And that's, yeah.
I've been looking, man. I ask everyone that I talk to and nobody, the problem is, I think it's a tough business model for that like mentor or coach or whatever is like, they need to do group-based coaching to make money.
Or just charge a ton.
And I don't want to do either of those. And so like, I want to pay $500 a month to talk to someone once a week. And understandably, like nobody wants to bill their time out at $100 an hour. So yeah, it's a pickle, but maybe that's my next job after all this. That would be fun just to give advice all day.
All right, we'll see. We'll see where the future Craig goes. Definitely excited to hear how things go from here. And like I said, yeah, a lot in the works for us. And so hopefully we'll have some fun and exciting updates as we start rolling out more of these higher ticket features and services for the
Yeah, it'd be cool to hear how all that goes. Yeah.
Well, hey, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Greg, it was good catching up.
Always. Talk to you all next week.